7 past the hour, 1. Really looking forward to this hour. My friend Randy Shaver is here. Randy has had a remarkable career at Care 11, and he's quitting. He's quitting. He couldn't stick it out. He's soft. No, after 40-some years at Care 11, 6 o'clock Friday is it. 6 o'clock Friday. We talked about this when you first made the news, and I so appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
We used to see each other a lot more. Just life happened, so yep. It's great to see you again. You mentioned, but I want you to repeat why you're just doing the 6 and not the 10, because a lot of people might think, well, you know, the 10 o'clock, right. That's the way to say goodbye.
Well, you live in Minnesota. Yep. You know what Friday nights in the summer are like.
Yeah.
Why in the world would I want to work till 10:30 on a Friday night in summer? So I told my general manager when we kind of got this all figured out how this was going to work. I said, look, I only want to do the 6 o'clock show on that Friday. I want to leave where it's a beautiful night. I want my family and I, we're going to go have dinner together.
Yep.
And I don't want to have to come back. And so he was very gracious about it and said, got it. We'll do some, I think Julie's doing some big story on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. But the Friday 6 will be my last show. Now, if I was smart, I would have negotiated, just give me that Friday. I'll come in and hand off my, you know, my key card and all that stuff and make Thursday 10 my last show. But I wasn't that smart. And so I am coming in for, I guess, I call it a half day on Friday. So,
have you thought about what Monday morning is going to be like?
Well, yeah, because my granddaughter's coming to stay for 3 days with my wife and I. So I've been thinking a lot about that.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with working television. It has everything with how am I going to change a bunch of diapers and that kind of thing. So, you know, I really haven't had time to think about that. To be honest with you, and I've talked to you before about this, I'm not sad. I'm not sentimental.
Yep. You're very matter-of-fact. Straight to the point person.
Yeah, well, yes and no.
Okay.
But I've just made the decision that this was just the perfect time. It's just time. You know, when I coached travel basketball, I coached for 16 years, travel basketball, different teams and whatever. But I always told myself, the day that I don't like to go to practice is the day I need to be done. Because I love practice.
Yeah.
I love it more than the tournaments. I love it more. I love practice. I love to be there with the kids and whatever. And that day came in the last year. Now, the young basketball player from Wayzata, Jackson.
McAndrew?
Yeah. I coached him in fifth grade. That was my last team.
Oh, is that right?
That was my last team with Jackson.
He's a heck of a player,
that group,
too.
Yeah. And he was then, too.
Yeah.
But in December of that basketball season, I went to practice. And it was at West Lutheran High School or whatever over there. And I just
was there a lot with Hunter.
Yeah. And I just, Chad, I just went, oh God,
this is it.
I'm not enjoying this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anybody's fault. It wasn't kids.
Sounds like you're blaming the kids on the team. Correct. Put that out on Twitter.
but it just was, I just knew it was time.
Yeah.
Right. I just knew this is my last year. I just don't, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. And so I kind of felt the same way with this. You know, I signed my last deal with John Remish, and you know John, before John retired. And
great person.
Yep. And I just said, I want to retire in the summer. I don't want to retire in December. I don't want to walk out the door and it's 10 below zero, and that's what I have to look forward to.
Right.
So we made a deal to make it like 3.5 years, and I knew this was coming, and I've had conversations about, do you really want to be done? Do you want to work? And I feel great. I could do it. I could do it.
Well, for sure you could do it.
But I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. So
why don't you want to do it? You're 65.
I'm 65.
You're healthy.
I am healthy.
You have stared down cancer not once, but twice. I'm looking at you right here. You look great.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not making a run at you, so let's not go that far, but I mean.
Well, you were looking at me. You know what? It's driving home at night at 10:45 at night.
Yeah.
I've done it for 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've only worked 2 to 10:30 my entire television career. Year and a half in Austin, Minnesota, 41 and a half years here.
Yeah.
And I just, there was a time where it didn't matter to me. I loved what I was doing. And I've always loved what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the last year and a half, 2 years since the pandemic, that drive home was just painful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm lucky enough that I can go home for dinner and come back at 8 o'clock or whatever it might be. But even that was painful. You know, the last year or so.
Were there times you were home and you thought,
oh, God.
Wow. Like, I really got to go back?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just got harder and harder.
Yeah.
And so that makes my decision a lot easier. As your friend and my friend, Mark Rosen, sent me a text and said, you'll be amazed at how liberating it is to have your nights off.
I've had that conversation with him many times.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm looking forward to probably the most of anything, is just having that time off. I've had some time off in June, you know, because I kind of backloaded my vacation time.
Well, I was going to kid you. I tuned in the other day at 5 and you're not on there. I was like, hey, let's go. Come on. Be on every show.
I think if I count this right, I think I worked 5.5 days in the month of June. but I did that. When I did that, it just sent the message even more clear. There was one night last week, I went to bed at 9:15.
Yeah.
And
that's what old people do.
Intentionally to, like, maybe fall asleep, but read my phone or relax.
Yeah.
But
yep.
I was in bed at 9:15. And it was like, oh, my God, this is great. You know? And it wasn't that I was overly exhausted or anything. I just felt like it was time to go to bed. And so those are the things that I am excited about and looking forward to, is just having my own time and on my own schedule. I'm not going to stop working. You know, I'm still going to work radio with 93X.
Yep.
I love that. It's not going away. I'm going to start a high school football podcast.
Okay,
with Talk North, and I'm so excited about doing that.
Okay, let's take those one by one.
Okay.
93X and the morning show is very funny. It's very successful. Bravo to those guys. And I know you really enjoy that.
I do.
Will you do even more, or
will
it change?
We're talking about it. We're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What that looks like, I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah.
This is a whole new deal for me too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you get into radio as your full-time job, which is what it'll become, there's other things that come with all that. And so I'm navigating a lot of that. But for right now, that's mainly what I'm going to do.
Okay, now tell me about the podcast.
Well, I signed a deal with Talk North, which is Jim Suhan's company. I told them I want to stay connected with the high school football coaches in Minnesota. I love high school football, as you know. I've done that prep show for 40 years. I have great relationships with so many people, and I love it. And in retirement, you should do what you love when you want to do it. And so as I sat down and said, what do I love and when do I want to do it?
Yeah.
I love that. I want to keep the relationship. I've never done a podcast in my life. Honestly, I've hardly ever listened to any of them.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
No offense. Yeah.
I mean, I'm right. Chris, does he know I'm right here? Does he think I'm in another room?
He's talking past you.
Yeah, I am. I'm way past you. You know what? It just sounded fun. And, and so I've already started lining people up and getting all that organized. You know me. I walked in this week with this whole list of what, you know, like 24 shows laid out already. And the guys at Talk North are like, oh, my God. But that's just me. And when I get excited about something, then I'm going to go full bore into it. And I am for this because I really just want to do something like that. It just sounds fun to me. And there's no money to be made in any of that. So I don't care about that. It doesn't matter to me.
Might be. Some money.
What I care about, though, is keeping that relationship.
Yeah.
Because
you like it. You've changed high school sports in this state. And no one is close to you in that coverage. No one. It's just a fact.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But and who knows what it'll lead to.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm kind of like a free agent. You know.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, I'll be kind of figure some things out. And that's exciting, too. So we'll see how it goes. It starts July 29th, and it'll be every week. And, you know, once we get into it, it'll be on video. It'll be on video, which is something they have not
done. So will
it be
like on a Saturday after the game?
No, nope, it'll be on Monday.
Okay, so reviewing.
We'll recap, and we'll look ahead. And I'm lining up guests that are not just – I love the high school kids and the coaches in the state, and it's going to be a statewide thing. It's not going to be metro-centric because that's not what I'm interested in. But it's also going to be guys like John Randall and Quinn Carroll and guys like that. Ben Lieber, who said he'd come in and do a segment with me, talking about their journey in football and trying to relate it to the kids of today. You know, here's a couple of things to think about as you begin your sophomore, junior seasons and you're getting excited about football, but these guys have been through it, right? And so those guys can help guide you or give you some things to at least think about. And so, and I'm interested in all that too. That to me is
that's the key. It's not only is the audience there, which it is, but you doing it. If your curiosity is high and it stays that way, then it'll be good. Let's pause if we don't get too far behind. Randy Shaver's here. He's saying goodbye to Care 11, but he's not saying goodbye to the community. He's not saying goodbye to visibility. When he finishes a Care 629.50, he'll say, see you later, but not really see you later. If you want to share something about Randy, a memory, just send me a text, 651-461-9226 here on CCO. Shaver is with us. It's 23 past one. Okay. If circumstances were different and you were back to where you were, the main sports guy, and Chris just popped up the mic, would we wouldn't be having this conversation, right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Did the news wear at you?
Yeah, but when I left in 2012, I needed to take a break. So the decision to move from sports to news for me was the right decision. And it has always been the right decision.
Yeah.
However, and I've said this to you before, when we got into the pandemic and even maybe prior to the pandemic and then through George Floyd, I just got completely mentally wore down. And you know, I know it's my job, and I do it the best that I can, and try to, you know, not let outside influences be an issue when you're on the air. But when you're talking about things like that every day, and we do in this market, we have crime, we have things happen that
it's busy all the time,
are sometimes super horrific.
Yes.
And
you can't avoid them.
I can't turn it off. That's part of, you know, maybe I'm not reading that specific story, but I'm still standing there listening to the details.
You have to be engrossed.
Right. And so, you know, just over time, I think that just kind of wore me down. And thank God I still did the prep show because that was like my release from the day-to-day news that was happening, and to be able to do something that I enjoyed and still enjoy. And so had I not done that, and that was a part of the deal when I signed with John Remish, when I switched over to news.
You didn't want to lose.
I'm not losing this.
Yeah.
I got it. And at the time, it was a selfish thing more than anything else because it was my show.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, it was really kind of my salvation to have that there for 4 months out of the year to be able to keep myself sane. So, I mean, it just kind of got to me after a while. But no, if I was still doing sports, I probably would still be doing
it. Okay, so Wednesday, somebody from Channel 9, Channel 5, Channel 4 calls you and says, hey, we want to use you on the sports side. Would you listen?
Yeah, I would listen.
Yeah.
I think I'd be foolish not to listen.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the scenario where that would work for you?
Oh, gosh. Who knows? I don't know.
Because you don't want to go and all of a sudden be the
oh, gosh. I don't think so. No, not now. I mean,
features, I'm kind of play off your strengths.
I'm kind of mentally past that everyday grind.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love what Mark does.
Right.
He jumps on Channel 9 on the Vikings mornings.
Right.
That's perfect for him.
He's on The Fan multiple times a day.
Well, and he's kind of my role model for a lot of this, to be honest.
Pretty good role model to have.
Well, and I've said this before. When I first started here, and I worked for, you know, Jeff Passelt and Tom Ryder, and Bob Bruce was the sports guy, Channel 5, and Larry Burnett was in town.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, there were some pretty good guys here. And,
yeah.
But Mark and Ralph John, those guys.
Hanny.
Yeah, God bless. Hanny. Mm-hmm. But Mark specifically, I would record his shows and I would go back and watch him.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I've said it. I don't know if I've actually said it to him in person, but he was the person that I watched. And the reason why is every word in his sportscast mattered. He never wasted a cliche. He didn't do that. There wasn't time wasted. He specifically wrote to either a point he was trying to make or to something that happened in a game, but it was always specific. There was never, and so he got multiple ideas and thoughts in every sportscast where, you know, if you watch some people, either past or present, sometimes it's three stories and it's generic. I could have seen that in the newspaper.
Could have rolled in at 6:20 and you would have done it.
Exactly. And he wasn't that way.
Mm-hmm.
He had sources. He had people. He made you smarter to watch his sportscast. And that, to me, was how you should do it. And not that I ever reached that level, but I tried really hard to take what I saw and try to mold it into something that I could use to help me be better at that job.
So when you switched to news and the newscast was done, what did you feel like you needed to achieve to feel good about that newscast?
Well, that's a good question. I think that when I first started, I was very concerned about my credibility as doing news. And so I relied, and I still rely, so much on Julie.
Yep.
She is incredible. She's very, very meticulous, very smart at what she does. And the thing that she does, Chad, that probably more behind the scenes than anything else, is she's super, super balanced. She wants to make sure that what we report is balanced. And sometimes that's hard to do, right?
Right.
And so I've learned.
It takes the extra effort.
It does take extra effort. It does. And sometimes.
But it's what you should do.
Sometimes we just don't have people with experience to.
Right.
You know, they maybe one door shuts and they figure, oh, that's it.
We're good. Yep.
That's not it. That's not how it works. And so watching her every day helped me be better at that in trying to, you know, understand the right tone and how things were. You know, just how to do the job, you know. So I've had two really great mentors, one that didn't know that that's what I was doing with Mark, but certainly her, she knows that that's, I've relied a lot on her. So I would just say, you know, I would feel good about what we were doing if we were making people aware, smarter, we were accurate, we were trying to present it in a way that isn't our opinion, but it's helping you make decisions about what the information is. That's our job. Our job is to tell you what it is, and then it's up to you to decide if you're for it, against it, whatever that might be.
Let's pause. More with Randy. In fact, I'll take a look at the text, offer up some feedback, your favorite memories of Randy, a question for Randy, whatever you want to say. Let's just do it through text this time. We might squeeze in a phone call. Maybe we'll even squeeze in a call, too. 651-461-9226. Traffic and weather next. Back with Randy. All right, Randy is here. We're doing this because Randy's walking away from Care 11 after a remarkable career. His final newscast is Friday at 6. We've covered a lot of topics, a lot of texts coming in. Let's take one call. Paul is called in. Paul, I'm glad you're listening. Go ahead. You're on WCCO Radio.
Who is this guy, this Randy guy?
Oh, my God.
That didn't take you long.
No, God. He can't fool me.
Why are you wasting time?
You're trying to do Sid, are you?
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to do Sid, that's a poor Sid.
Yeah. Well, most of them were poor.
It wasn't a Sid. Trust me.
Of course, this is Paul Majors checking in to talk with Randy, and we appreciate you calling in. Okay, give me, Paul, your first memory of this guy. Did you call him Jethro? No.
Call me Henry Cornstalk.
Henry. I knew it was something.
Henry Cornstalk.
Okay.
Basically, I called him Hog Donk.
Yeah, true. You called me that, too.
Yeah, but mostly Henry Cornstalk or just Henry. I often just refer to Randy as Henry, and people didn't know who I was talking about.
That is true.
My first memory was Gannett flew me to Minneapolis from San Diego, and I went to the station, which they were remodeling at the time. There was virtually nobody there because it was a Saturday morning. But I went back by the sports office, and I met Randy that day. Really didn't make an impression upon me, and I didn't think he'd be there when I finally got there. I thought, I'm sure they're gonna, after watching him that weekend, I thought, I'm sure they're going to get rid of this guy.
Is this the temp? You know, I mean, auditions?
Yeah, really?
Oh, my God.
I looked and I thought, God, this job is going to be easy.
Oh, man.
Here's one of my favorite stories, though, Chad. So, Randy, you know, I love Randy. I'll say that out loud. I'll say it in front of anybody. I do. I love and respect Randy. And, you know, you meet people in this business that you know can handle situations. So, you know, you can have a bit of fun with them and maybe even, you know, test them a bit. So, the first time Randy was anchoring sports with me sitting out of the set, not the first time, but maybe after a week or two when he got the job. You know, the guy, no one is more prepared than Randy Shaver. Now, I always said he's the hardest working man in broadcast TV. He's the James Brown broadcast television. And he, you know, he's got everything ready to go. It's boom, everything's buttoned down. The T's are crossed, the I's are dotted. He sits down this one day. So I look at the top of his lead story, which I can just glance down and quickly read. You know, it's a paragraph. And it might have been something. So here's what it is. We come out on a two shot, and his script says, leave it to Kirby Puckett. 4-for-4 with a walk-off homer to move the Twins into first place. That's his lead sentence, right?
Yeah.
So
sure.
We come out on a two shot, and I go, God, Kirby Puckett, 4-for-4, and he hit a walk-off dinger, and the Twins are in first place now. And he's just staring at me. He's just staring. He can't laugh because, you know, it wouldn't make any sense. He's just staring at me and has the half smile, and he's just looking at me with those eyes are just penetrating my eyes, and he just looks at me and says, that's right, Paul.
You did that to me multiple times, but the one thing that you used to try to do to me is that when I was doing the sportscast, you would reach over and like squeeze my leg or do something with my leg to try to get me to crack up, and it would take all of my strength not to do that. You were always picking on me, always.
Well, it was fun.
It was fun.
Well, that's the thing, Paul, that we've talked about so many times when you've had your other stops, and you know, when you came back last year, and when we've talked so many times over the years, just the fun and the people that drew you to Care 11. I know Randy feels the same way. So both you guys, just talk about the friendship, and you're covering very serious stories. But there's so much time in the day to have fun, become friends, and now it makes you look forward to going to work.
Well,
it does. My wife always said, yeah, he goes to work to have fun. And that was true. It was a fun place to go to. You know, Randy pointed out, I was listening earlier, Randy talked about working nights, and I couldn't agree with more, Shave. You get your nights back, it changes your life.
Yeah.
It really does. It changes your life in a dramatic way. I can't underscore that enough. But my wife one time complained on a holiday. It was like Thanksgiving. We're eating Thanksgiving dinner at 10 a.m., and I've got a bunch of people from work typically who didn't have family in the area. They were at the house, too. We're done eating at 11:30 or noon so we all get to work. And one day we're all done, and I'm helping clean up. People are gone. Now I'm going to work. My wife said, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I go, yeah. And she goes, could you just not be so happy about going to work on a holiday? I'm like Randy. Randy, I know, loved it. I loved it. It was a remarkable environment.
Well, here's the thing, though. Paul was the person, I've often said this, he was the sun and we were the planets. You know, I mean, we all revolved around him, and he is the one that brought everybody together on the same, you know, level. He was the guy that orchestrated a lot of that fun, mm-hmm. right? But he did it in a way that included everybody. And that, one of the secrets for me, as I look back on the success of CARE in that time period, yes, we were really good on the air. There's no doubt that we had great journalists and did great work. But it was what Paul did behind the scenes to get everybody on the same page, everybody to love not only their job, but just love being with each other. And that's what showed on the air. That's what, if you do research on CARE, the one thing that always shows up in the research is they're real, they like each other, and it shows. And that started with him.
Knowing you well, Paul, that is who you are as a person. But there are people who sometimes are that way in their personal life, and they don't want to be that person at work. Why did you feel like it was so important to be that way and to kind of build that camaraderie, and how essential was Randy to all of that?
Well, and I think Randy would agree with me, Dave. You can't go on the air and be somebody you're not.
Well, we know that.
Find that out very quickly. It just doesn't work.
Right.
So you got to be honest. And the only way to be honest is be yourself.
Yep.
So, not that subtle, but
yeah, it doesn't sound difficult, but for some people it is. For some people,
right.
they can't be themselves. Yeah. And
I'll tell you something right now, though, Randy. I'll tell you something that still bothers me. Before this interview with Chad ends, we are going to find out what chaff means.
Oh my God!
You want to explain that? To Chad?
Well,
and the listeners.
So CHOF was Christ's Household of Faith.
Okay.
And when we did the prep show one night, TR didn't know what that meant, and so in the body of the show, he said that. Now infamous line that Paul and I like to say back and forth to each other, before the night is over, we will know what chaff means because he didn't know what it meant. And I did. And unfortunately, I don't think I laid it out for him specifically.
No, you didn't. No, you looked over at me and I slapped my forehead. So whatever Randy and I did, and the listeners who are out there, whenever we were in a situation where we momentarily, which happened a lot, didn't understand what was going on, we would use that line.
That's really good.
Oh, man.
Okay, so let's go back to what you said earlier about getting your nights back, right? When you walked away, we talked a bunch, and I would ask you, do you miss it? And you're like, no. Mm-mm. Do you think this
Not
guy,
for a minute.
Do you think, knowing him as well as you know him, do you think he's going to miss it?
Well, I can't answer for Randy. I mean, he's going to have to find out for himself, but I believe in his convictions and what he said to you earlier on this interview. And knowing Randy, when Randy sets his mind to something, consider it a done deal. He and I are built differently. Factory work setting is don't work. Randy's factory work setting is do some work that you're enjoying. I haven't missed it for 1 minute, Chad, and I've said that before. Randy talked about going to bed one night at 9:15. Hey, Shave, the longer you're retired, we eat dinner at 3 in the afternoon. We're in bed at 6:50.
Yeah, I have found that out.
What's coming up?
I have found that out at a few visits where we're the same place, and you're like,
oh my God.
Yeah, can we meet at 4:30 a.m.? I'm like, no, we're not meeting at 4:30 a.m.
So, Chad, I went out to interview Paul in August of last year for the 75th anniversary of CARE, right?
Yeah, right.
And so I think when we got done with the interview and we were shooting the breeze, Paul and I, and Paul said, let me give you a piece of advice about retirement, because he knew it was coming for me in a year. And I go, what's that? He goes, never wash both cars in one day. And I said, I looked at him kind of like, what does that mean? He goes, leave yourself something to do tomorrow.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
All right, so we're going to let you go. Thank you so much,
Pauly,
for calling
I love you,
in.
Pauly. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Shave, congratulations. You know I love you. And, in all sincerity, you did the job well, very, very well, and you'd be proud of what's this chapter in your life that's coming to a close.
I appreciate that. Thank you, bud.
Paul Majors checking in here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. All of your experiences at CARE have been great. You wouldn't have stayed there that long. But is there a point at CARE you think of and you think, I wish that wouldn't have happened, or I'd go back and I'd do something different? Is there any part of it? If you're at a place for that long, some things might happen. Is there anything that stands out? Because I know overwhelming part is fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change. I mean, I wish my path would have been a little bit smoother in some places. I mean, I got passed over twice for the main sports job.
Yep.
Jeff Passelt, and rightly so, got the job when TR was let go. And then Russell Shimoka was hired for four months, and that was a huge disaster. And
yeah. That was an epic disaster.
It was. Yeah. For the station to let him go after just 4 months on the air.
How rare is that?
It's extremely rare. You would have to do something criminal.
They knew him well at Brookview.
Yes, they did. So I wish that path would have been smoother. When I wanted to switch over to news, and I thought about it after Paul left, it didn't really work out. Frank ended up getting the job, and Frank deserved it. And then when Frank left, and I really didn't get approached for the job. They had already kind of figured out Mike Pomerantz was going to be that guy, which is fine. And I love Mike. He's great.
Very nice man.
Could the path have been smoother in both places?
That's all of us.
Sure. But,
right?
but you know what? When I go out and speak to kids and stuff, I said, life is what it is. And so every time I got passed over or whatever, I just put my head down, I shut my mouth, and I just worked harder. That's exactly what I did. I just said, you know what? I'm going to be a pro about it because that's the way I've got to be. And I'm just going to shut up.
Yep.
I'm not going to cry about it. I'm just going to go back to work and work harder. And each time that I did that, I ended up getting the position that, I ended up in. And so it all worked out.
And flourished at it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But I just, I'm not sure in this day and age of where we are with young people at this point, because life is different now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, generations have grown up with how they have, I don't want to say entitled, but they feel like there's certain things that they—
It's going to happen fast.
Yeah. It's got to happen fast. And it doesn't happen fast. In the real world, it just doesn't. And so would I've changed a few things? Yeah, I wish that wouldn't have been the way it was, but it turned out for the best.
Okay, update us on the health, because you look fine. You look great.
Thank you. So
expand on that. And then what you and Roseanne keep doing in raising staggering amount of money.
Well, I appreciate it.
And as others have pointed out, you point out, with your expenses— at historically low rates.
Well, first of all, my health is good.
Yep.
I had an MGUS scare a couple of years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with what MGUS is.
A little bit.
MGUS is more protein in your blood than you should have.
Okay.
And it's a precursor for multiple myeloma, for Hodgkin's, for things like that. It never got to that point. I guess long story short, my numbers bounced for like the last 3 years to the point where I just had a meeting with my oncologist. It used to be every 6 months. My last meeting, he said, look, you're good. I'll see you in a year.
Yeah.
And that's the best.
I was going to say,
that's the best thing you can ever hear as a cancer survivor. The best thing you can hear is, I don't need to see you anymore.
Yeah, right.
But in this case, it's see you in a year. And it's the same with my prostate cancer situation. Mm-hmm. It's every year. So, so that part of my life is really good. I feel great. Life is good. As far as our foundation and raising money. We just had a great successful golf event, raised, I think the final, I don't know if the final number's there yet or not, but it's about $470,000 for the 2-day event. And we're hoping that Tackle Cancer will have a big year. It's been an amazing, amazing, amazing thing what these Minnesota Football Coaches Association has done. They did this. This was not me asking them to do it. They came to me and said, we want to do this 13 years ago. They've raised over $3.5 million on football nights across the state of Minnesota. It's been remarkable. And that money has changed our charity. We are now able to give more money to cancer researchers at the University of Minnesota, Mayo Clinic, UMD. We're able to, I wore this shirt specifically today, right. Chad. My dad was a firefighter.
Yep, I know that.
We, in the last 2 years, have provided money to the Volunteer Firefighter Association of Minnesota because they wear these protective hoods. Firefighters, people probably don't know, they have a 60% higher chance of getting cancer than the normal person in their job. And the reason why is when they go to fight fires, the homes are no longer wood, they're plastic.
Yeah.
Everything is plastic and everything's a carcinogen. And so they wear these protective hoods that protect their throat and their neck and their upper torso. And they're expensive. They're like $150 a piece. We have supplied in the last 2 years, I want to say like 300 of them.
That's amazing.
They've come to us and asked, and we will continue to give them more and more because I think that's a preventive thing that we should be doing.
Thank you so much for doing that. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. Randy Shaver. Great hour here on CCO. You're looking-